Welcome to Flower Farmer Forum, the podcast where growing and selling cut flowers isn't just a dream, it's a reality. With over 100,000 downloads, this is your go-to spot for everything you need to know about turning blooms into bucks. Whether you're looking for a little bit of extra cash or dreaming of scaling up to a full-fledged flower empire, we've got you covered. I'm your host, Liz Fidler, owner and operator of Sunny Mary Meadow Flower Farm in Minnesota. In just 5 years, I went from modest beginnings with $7,000 in sales to flourishing $200,000 operation, and I'm here to tell you it's absolutely possible. But remember, peddling perishable products requires careful planning and thoughtful intention. So let's roll up our sleeves and dive in. Ready to bloom and grow? Let's get started. Hello, and welcome back to another episode of the Flower Farmer Forum podcast. I'm your host, Liz Fidler-Mergen, and we're going to kick off another mini series that I think is really important to discuss right now. And it is ways to reduce burnout on your flower farm. And I actually wanted this to come out last spring, but to be honest, I was really well rested. And as I was writing the episodes, I felt like it would not resonate as much, because if I went back and listened to that this time of year, I'd be like, shut up, Liz, you were not tired. I think it's important to record this at the end of my season when it's very fresh on my mind and kind of put my money where my mouth is or practice what I preach. Because if I'm recording this, then it just seems to be a lot more genuine than had I recorded it last spring ahead of time. So this is one that you'll probably go back and listen to next year. I want you to listen to it again next March. Maybe we will re-release this in the spring just to kick it off and keep it at the forefront of your mind again. But ways to reduce burnout on your flower farm, three-part mini series. And at the end of the mini series, we're going to have a webinar. And I don't like to do the webinars by myself. I'm not positive that I'm going to have Brittany and Lydia on here. It's either going to be Brittany and Lydia or just one of them, or I guess podcast producer Abby will come on because she sees what goes on week to week. But I really want to have Brittany and Lydia. Brittany was here last year and again this year, and she'll be coming back again next summer. Lydia, this was her first summer here. So I think it would be very informative. It's just if schedules align in order to have that webinar. So by the time this episode comes out, we'll have something in the episode notes about when the webinar is. I'm purposely not saying when it is, but I'll cut an ad and Abby will throw it in there and work her magic. But the three mini series, the three topics that we're going to discuss are getting your finances in order, hiring the right help and focusing on the right tasks, and crop planning. So growing the right amount of the right kinds of flowers. So those are the three parts. And today we're going to talk about finances in order. Now, as I record this, it's actually Monday, September 23rd. The episode that came out today, this week, was actually tax tips for flower farmers and getting your finances in order. So definitely go back and listen to that, because this is going to piggyback on that episode. But I do think it's so important to talk about again, because your goal is to have a business. And while, you know, we can all sit here and pretend like money's not everything, of course, nobody's getting rich doing this. Nobody's paying themselves $20,000 a month or whatever it is and only working, you know, 10 hours a week. But it's finding those goals and figuring out how to make this at least somewhat worth your time and feel good about what you're doing and the time that you're taking away from your friends, family, loved ones, that time that you're taking away from the hobbies, that time that you're replacing with things that are fulfilling for your life with, you know, a means to do so. And if you can find a job that you enjoy and it doesn't feel like work, that's fantastic. But at the end of the day, I would imagine that the majority of people, if they didn't have to make money, probably would not be working so much. I mean, honestly, if we could just plant flowers and everything was free and get our expenses paid for and not feel the pressure of having to fulfill order or communicate with customers, definitely would probably go that route. But unfortunately, life does not work that way, and life costs money and fun costs money. So here we go. When I decided to switch from a seasonal business to taking in sales year round, that was the game changer for me. When you run a seasonal business, especially one like flower farming, where your busiest months are packed with planting and harvesting and fulfilling orders, Having a clear revenue goal is so crucial because without it, it is so easy to get caught up in the momentum and constantly push yourself to do more and lead to burnout. So burnout happens when we are operating without boundaries and we are chasing every single opportunity without a clear target or without a clear number in mind and a financial goal for what success is going to look like and what is going to be sustainable within your business. So if you don't get a financial goal for your busy season, you'll find yourself feeling like you can never do enough. You're always pushing for that next sale, the next event, the next milestone, feeling this constant pressure to keep marketing and selling. And honestly, it comes off as desperation in your business. And I know that because I've been there. I've seen it with other businesses. And it's just kind of funny because people have commented to me somewhat passive aggressively this season. And they're like, oh, are you not doing the stem bars as much? Or you're not doing these things as much? You're not doing that? I'm like, no, I am. I'm doing just as much. It's just I pre-sold them in the off season, so I'm not worried about it. Or no, I don't have to. Like I don't want to work a lot of evenings and I don't want to work a lot of weekends, so I'm just not. And to be able to say that I don't have to. My business doesn't need me to do that and I don't need to make my employees do that. And yeah, there's always extra flowers that we can pick and sell, but for the most part our flowers are all sold and we're good. And it's just kind of funny because people they don't always think that way. Why would you turn down a market? Why would you turn down sales? And if it doesn't align with our vision and we don't have to do it, then we don't have to. We're going to do a quick break from this episode and I want to give a shout out to my employee of the month, QuickBooks. I know it can be so overwhelming to get started, but honestly, the sooner you create your own system for your bookwork, the sooner you will get your time back. I used to spend 10 to 20 hours every quarter because in Minnesota, it depends on what your sales volume is. And I fall in the category of quarterly sales tax. So it never failed. Every 3 months, I would go down this rabbit hole of trying to gather everything from my website, the different point of sale that I do in person, people would pay checks, and just trying to reconcile it all. So now every month, I spend 1 hour reconciling my bank account with those systems that automatically feed in. And then when it's time to submit my sales tax, it takes me about 5 minutes, saving me literally dozens of hours every month. So yes, you pay a monthly fee for QuickBooks, but trust me, even if I only value my time at 10 bucks an hour, it is still way worth it. Head to the episode notes and click on the link there and you will get 30% off for 6 months with my exclusive code. Be sure to use the code rather than just going to the regular website because this is going to give you that 30% off for 6 months. I cannot recommend QuickBooks enough. Let's get back to the episode. So this year, I made the conscious decision to forego Dahlia Day and Sunfest. And those are two events that I've always enjoyed hosting. But I had so many other things going on this summer. And instead of overloading my plate, I just set my financial target. I met it. And I recognize that it's okay to take a step back. If you are familiar with the podcast, you know we have so many things going on within our flower farm this year. And we are expanding stuff that we offer. We're expanding our event space, all of those things next year. And so this year has been completely filled with planning. We also bought an investment property this year, about an hour away on a lake, and we've been fixing that up. And it's just been very, very stretched thin. And I've been working as a speaker much more often. And so I've been doing a lot of virtual and in-person workshops. And I'm doing my best to just let it go in one ear and out the other when people say it. But I get told all the time, like, I know you're so busy. I know your plate's so full. And I can honestly say, actually, no, I'm not that busy. And my plate is not that full, but it's as full as I like it. And my time is allocated to my family and my friends and to work. And I just don't need to work 60 hours a week like I used to. And profit margins are good. And I just don't need to do it. So when you set a goal, it gives you a sense of completion and accomplishment. So you can say, you know what, I've hit my number, my bills are paid. Now I get to rest. Now I get to do something for fun. And that is a really powerful feeling when you're in the middle of a hectic season. And so for me, hitting that helps me know that I can spend time with my family or take a break without the guilt of feeling like I should be hustling. It also sets the tone for boundaries that I create in my life. And it just helps me balance work with time off. And if you don't have a revenue number in mind, you're always going to feel the pull to keep growing, to take on more projects, to say yes to everything. But that is not sustainable. And frankly, it's not necessary. So the beauty of setting a goal is it allows you to plan and prioritize. And you can say, next year, I'm going to bring back Dahlia Day and Sunfest. They're going to be bigger and better than ever. But this year, I gave myself grace to focus on things that were more important right now during this time without feeling like I have to do it all the time. And running a business is a marathon, not a sprint. And setting boundaries and financial goals helps protect your energy and mental health. So this year marked the first season where I truly had my profit first system fully in place, and it made such a huge difference. So if you're not familiar with that, you can go back to last week's episode. I talk about this really extensively in Foundations of Peddling Perishable Products, but I allocate twice a month. I go into my bank account and I put certain percentages, targeted allocated percentages or TAPs, and I know exactly, what percentage is my operating expense, what percentage is my owner's draw. I set aside my sales tax ahead of time. I know what all those expenses are. And when I first started implementing it last year, I had like a whopping 80% in operating expenses, and I had no real handle on where my money was going. And I was constantly reacting to my business and scrambling to pay bills, and everything felt like an emergency. But this year, I just rinsed and repeated the system that I had learned last year, and it finally clicked. So I had a solid process for things like payroll, sales tax, those expense allocations, those sinking funds. And instead of reacting to every unexpected cost or panicking about where money was going, I was proactive in managing my books and I could actually plan ahead. The best part was that I consistently paid myself this season. And with all the systems I had in place, there was a lot more predictability in how things were running. So there was no more freaking out because I ran out of cups or the scissors were gone or I felt that, every little issue was a crisis. The business felt smoother and more organized, and I wasn't operating in constant firefighting mode. So, having this system allowed me to focus on growing the business, not just putting out fires. And it's been a game changer, and my customers have noticed it, and I'm excited to keep refining it. So, one of the biggest changes I made in my business was transitioning it from a seasonal operation to a year-round venture. Initially, all of my revenue that first year, and then I kind of offset a little bit of it in subscriptions, but now it's, probably closer to 80% now that I've added weddings. And so initially, all of my revenue came from the busy summer months, which put a ton of pressure on me those first few months or during those few months to make everything work. But the reality is, the expenses of running a business don't just stop because the flowers aren't blooming. So I knew I needed to create more predictability in my cash flow. So what I did was take all of my expenses, both monthly and annual, and add them up. That included everything from staff wages, materials, overhead costs, down to the smallest details. And then I divided that total by 12. And that's what I knew I needed to cover each month, not just in the summer. And this gave me a clear picture of what I had to make on a monthly basis to keep things running smoothly all year long. So once I fully understood my expenses, I began estimating sales goals for each month, primarily focusing on, fulfillment in the summer when the flowers are blooming, but trying to pre-sell those in the off season. So now, with a revenue goal in place for the summer, it can set the stage for the slower months. And now I know, you know what? If I only sell, my only sales in the summertime are the YouPicks or the STEM bars or the one-off sales. But the subscriptions, the nursing home sponsorships, kids' classes, weddings, all of those flowers are already promised. So now I can set my schedule around the rest of that. And we're going to go into that much deeper in the crop planning episode, but it just allowed for, the average hours for staff, and I broke it all down. So I wasn't just trying to sell flowers when they were blooming, but really planning for the entire year. In the upcoming episodes, I will dive deeper into the two critical topics that helped me make this transition, which is hiring the right help and crop planning. So you're not just growing what looks good, but you're growing the right amount of flowers at the right times. And that has been the key to ensuring that I'm not overwhelmed in peak season and can meet my year-round goals. Now, in my course, Foundations of Peddling Perishable Products, I break this process down from this episode way deeper. So I go through every single line item each month, helping you with your own budget, helping you to adjust your numbers, track your expenses step by step. So obviously, I'm not going to do that in detail on a public podcast because that's weird, but it's all in the course to help you build a system to keep your business profitable year round, not just during peak season. And I know that having a plan of what things look like beyond just the summer months and coming up for air at the end and saying, how much did I make? How did we do? I've created a business that is sustainable year round, and it's way less stress, way more clarity, and it's been a game changer. And I cannot wait to share more tips in the upcoming episodes. Now, the other thing that I want to share is, you know, the thought of, you know, being a year-round flower farmer and what that looks like. I did an episode, we did a webinar last February, I believe, and we talked about, you know, what flower farmers do in the off season. So if you want to head to the episode notes and see that, but I really talked about when I do my marketing, when I do my sales, when I order things and how that works, because, you know, it's not like I'm working year round constantly, but it's, you know, it's 10 hours a week here or there, and just really making that plan. It's taking the time to pen email newsletters, working on my marketing campaign in the winter. I actually just signed up for a pretty extensive, in-depth mastermind. You have to be at least a six-figure revenue generating business with a goal of seven figures in mind, which sounds crazy. And I don't think that that's necessarily possible on what I'm doing right now and scaling it. But with these other ventures we're adding, yeah, that's a goal within the next 10 years or so. And continuing to grow the business and scale the business and add on my family members. And it's a pretty big thing. But in that essentially mastermind, it's called Well-Oiled Operations. I'm really excited that I finally pulled the trigger and joined. It's been like 2 years that I've been just watching it in the wings, and it's so much money. It's so much money that I'm going to pay to do this, but I'm excited to really hone in on a lot of my marketing, a lot of my messaging. She has so many little like 30-day challenges that you get to do. And yeah, so if you are part of Foundations of Peddling Perishable Products, you are going to benefit from my learning and my investing in this course, because as I hone my business, as I get better with profitability, I definitely want to pass along those things. Now, of course, I'm not going to take her information and go try to resell it or sell it for free or whatever, but it's like applying it to flower farming and how does this work? And I'm just really excited to continue to grow and see where things are at. And I can honestly say it's the end of September. I'm not burnt out. This is the last week of subscriptions. We have another wedding this weekend on Saturday. It's just personal flowers, bridesmaids, boutonnieres, of course the bride. And yeah, next week, and this is the last week of subscriptions. So next week we're going to just be doing, you know, some one-off sales, but I don't feel this huge pressure to, you know, sell every single stem. So I'm pretty excited about that. So thank you guys for listening, and tune in the next couple weeks for parts two and part three. Thanks. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Flower Farmer Forum. If you enjoyed today's show and want to dive deeper into the world of growing and selling cut flowers, be sure to check out our website at flowerfarmerforum.com. There you'll find every episode in written blog form, plus courses and one-to-one coaching options to help you on your flower farming journey. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram at Flower Farmer Forum and join our Facebook page to connect with other passionate listeners and flower enthusiasts. If you're local and want to see what we're up to, visit us at sunnymarymeadow.com or find us on Instagram and Facebook at sunnymarymeadow for my flower farm. We'd love your support. Please leave us a 5-star review and share this episode with a friend who might find it fantastic. Until next time, keep growing, keep blooming, and keep making your flower farm dreams a reality.
Flowers, flowers, we love flowers. Sunny Mary Meadow, they smell so good. sunnymarymeadow.com